The Maple Leafs are on their break. The Florida Panthers have won a couple of games here. The standings give us pause. But let's go back to the aftermath of Saturday's game against the Blackhawks. If you're the GM of the team, Berkey, and you've got a 10-day or so break coming up, and that's the taste left in your mouth, what are you carrying with you in the days ahead?
Well, I tell the guys to make sure they got a good break in, because I think it's really important. I thought when we started doing this bye week that it was really stupid. And I still, deep down, if I had to vote, I'd vote against it, because it produces so much compression in the schedule elsewhere. But it's become a thing that these players really need or to and really need. So I'd say go get a good break. We'll come back and we'll get back to work. I think they didn't realize how well Chicago was playing right then. They weren't ready for that game. Chicago's had a so-so year, but they've been really good lately, and they were really good that night.
One of the things we were discussing was that performance against Chicago and then the performance against the Panthers as well. One of the comments and observations that Ziggy made was that those two, to him, seemed a little bit more like one-off performances after the wins against the Devils and then a pretty good game against the Flames, even though they lost. But is the bye week looming a good enough excuse for the Maple Leafs not to show up in that game against the Blackhawks, even though we know a lot of teams do look ahead in those moments and maybe aren't fully engaged?
Well, that's a risk when you have a break coming up. It happens. They're human beings. And so, yeah, they're trying to get ready for a game, but they're thinking, geez, you know, some of the guys are golfing Augusta and some are going to Cabo or wherever they're going, Bahamas. And it's human nature sometimes to look ahead and anticipate something eagerly. To me, I'm watching the game, so I'm watching the Blackhawks game, and I'm thinking, okay, they look like they prepared for the Chicago Blackhawks of November, not for the Chicago Blackhawks of January. And it looks like not the coaches, they weren't ready. They didn't have the team ready, but it looked like the players thought we're playing a retread team that's in a rebuild, and when in fact Chicago's been really good lately. So it could be a one-off. I don't know. We're going to find out pretty quickly. There's not a lot of margin for error now that they've dropped out of the standings like they have. And so there will be teams that win five out of six in a row, move up, move down. They've got to stay close now, and they've got to sort out some of these deficiencies in their game.
Schellenkey's comments with the team being immature after the Chicago Blackhawks game, should Kyle Dubas be concerned when he hears his coach say that about his team?
Well, I think they're very close. I mean, very unusual for a coach to go out and talk to the media before I talk to him. So right after the game ends, win or lose, we take the elevator down right into the coach's office. And so for him to go out and speak and say what he said about the team being immature or something to that effect, he would have probably cleared that with Kyle. So, and we have one rule. The coach can never rip the team unless I've authorized it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you never get personal with players and carve guys and rip the team unless I've authorized it. So my guess is they're on the same page, and Kyle probably knew exactly what he was going to say and probably supports it.
And are these, like that comment with immaturity, which players, you think it's just on a whole? Is that on the leadership group? Or is that just the state of their identity as a team that they really don't want it at this point?
I mean, I didn't talk to the coach, so I don't really know the answer to that. But my guess is when you make comments, you direct them at the whole team, but the leadership group is always front and center. So they talk about being immature. It is a very young group. It's a fair comment. Not John Tavares and maybe not a couple other guys, but some of their best players are quite young, less than 4 years pro, and probably haven't figured out how to handle a grind of an 82-game season and play playoff hockey. So I think he's probably trying to get a message across before the break. Probably the GM supports that message, and hopefully they'll recharge during the break. They've got lots of talent on the team. They're doing lots of things well. They're scoring lots of goals. They've got to clean up their defensive coverages. They're letting the goalie see too many quality, for me, this is my view, too many quality shots every night. Like you watch against Winnipeg, you watch against Edmonton, you watch against Florida. The quality of the shots, the saves that Freddie has to make, are just, it's too much. And you ask even, and I think he's having a really good year, but you ask a really good goalie to make really difficult saves on a regular basis, that's hard. And these teams that give up 40 shots, and they're all perimeter shots and not that many high-quality shots, that's a different test for a goaltender. But to me, they're making Freddie face too many high-quality shots.
Are you surprised the way that Sheldon Keefe is being so upfront with the media? And listen, I know he has the respect of the room, and I know he knows a lot of these guys from the Marlies, and if he has the green light from Kyle Dubas, that's fine too. But I just feel between the comments about hanging Freddie out to dry, the immaturity comments, like he's going straight for the jugular pretty early in his coaching tenure. What do you make of his transparency and his forthrightness?
I think there are a lot of executives and coaches in hockey that were determined to be transparent early on and quickly learned that it's not a sensible strategy long term. You can do that once in a while, but I think you'll see Sheldon get more hardened and jaded with the media than he is right now. He'll figure out what the people on our side of the fence do for a living. He'll figure that out. He's a smart guy.
With Brian Burke of Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada, this is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. You mentioned earlier, Brian, that there's just no room or almost no wiggle room here once this team does come back. Top of the hour, we gave away another opportunity to get into the draw for a pair of Leafs-Panthers tickets on February 3rd. Like those games against Florida with two and a half months left in the regular season are huge at this point. Because as the Leafs are off here, Florida is 4 points up now for the final playoff spot in the Atlantic. And if Columbus wins tonight, they'll be 5 points up on the Leafs for the final wild card spot. So they're up against it. I remember asking you a couple of weeks ago what you thought was going on in Montreal, and you just weren't sure. There was something missing, but you couldn't nail it down. I feel the same way about this Maple Leafs team. I can't argue with the skill. I think they have a top-flight goaltender. I know Riley and Muzzin are hurt right now, but Riley has been available for most of the year. What is the one thing, or what are the one or two things that this team has to do to get on another run in order to make the playoffs?
Well, what they did early in the year was rely on just a couple guys to score. Then they got some secondary scoring. So Engvall would chip in with a goal, and this guy would chip in with a goal, that guy would chip in with a goal. I think getting Jake Muzzin back is a huge addition to their lineup. They don't defend well enough now. They're giving up too many high-quality shots, and their secondary scoring dried up a little bit. They didn't look ready to play against Chicago. So, again, I don't know, except I think overall, if you ask a GM, okay, do they have enough talent there to win? Yes. Is the roster constructed properly? You all know this. My view is no. There's not enough money being spent on the defense, and there's not enough size in the lineup. And I think those are both evident against Chicago. So I think they've got to look at, can they address those needs? They're capped out. They've got no cap space whatsoever, banged up. Can they address their need before the trade deadline? Can they add a defenseman? I don't know if they can. But that would be my priority. And then just tighten up a little bit with the way they play. They don't play a conscientious enough defensive system for me.
Right now they're 3 points out of the playoff spot. At what time or how many points back will it be panic button time for management where they have to make a move? And I know they're up against the cap, and it's tough to really do anything, but at some point here, if they keep falling back, a move will have to be made.
Yeah, and it's the standings are going to be this tight all year. So if you win three games in a row, you can vault. Like what the other night, Vancouver won and went from fourth or fifth in their division to first. 2 points. <Yeah. laughs> So it's going to be that tight. There's going to be that much compression. So, and this is why the 1 point, you know, the getting 1 point for getting to overtime is important to teams.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, we got you back.
I don't think they're going to fall out of it. You're going to see teams win three in a row and pull away. So it's too early to say time to press the panic button, because if they win three in a row, they get right back in it. So I don't think it's time yet. I think it's, you know, trade deadline's coming up. I think it's the 28th of February, if I'm not mistaken. That'll be the time when they got to try and do something. But I honestly don't know what they can do, again, with their cap situation.
Yeah, we're going to see if Dubas and company can work some magic, because if this team doesn't make the playoffs, the management, I think, and the construction of this roster is going to be on the hot seat. I do want to switch gears just for a hot second here, Berkey, because we saw Taves and Duncan Keith mixing it up at practice, at morning skate. What do you make of things like this? And are there situations on the ice where you're like, yeah, just fight and then move on, because we don't have time for anything else, because the hockey season is long, but it's really, really short?
I saw Bobby Carpenter. I saw the Washington Capitals played the Minnesota North Stars. This would be about 85, and they won. They beat the North Stars. They practiced there the next day. Brian Murray was the coach. Mm-hmm. And Bobby Carpenter beat Scott Stevens in a drill, and Scott Stevens yelled at him. Bobby yelled back. They came together, and Bobby Carpenter speared Scott Stevens right in the face and cut him wide open. And then they fought. That was a practice. And Brian Murray skated by me and said, hey, we won last night. Imagine what it'd be like if we lost. players fighting in practice, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. And I don't mean just scuffle around. A knockdown, drag-out fight sometimes is exactly what two players need. Sometimes it's healthy for a team. I never minded when my players fought. And I fought in practice. When I played university and pro, I fought a few times in practice. But it's therapeutic sometimes.
Do you have a winning practice fight record, Berkey? Any KOs?
I fought Ronnie Wilson in practice.
Oh.
I fought Kevin Gaffney in practice. He was bigger and tougher than I was, but that went fine. So
the champ is here. That's what we're going to play next time you come on. The champ is here, and then like a ding, 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 get in the ring kind of bell.
I didn't fight enough to have that kind of claim.
Speaking of things, Berkey, I'm sure you don't mind. What did you make of the dodgeball game that broke out in Raleigh last night after the Hurricanes won?
I didn't watch it. I don't watch anything. Once the game ends in their building, I turn it off. I think it's really stupid, so.
I got you.
You know what? We kind of knew that's where that was
that's
going.
Right. But I just wanted to wind you up and see if you'd give us anything.
Maybe there was a childhood affinity for dodgeball.
I do not watch anything they do. Once the game ends and they win, I turn it off.
Do you think that there is any value in that in the, quote, non-traditional market?
Well, I have no problem with them doing it. If you notice, I've never criticized the fans for staying for it or the team for doing it. Like, if this works in their market and fans like it, keep doing it. I think it's really stupid. I think it's incredibly stupid. But I don't. If they like it and it works for their team, keep doing it. I've never been critical of the fans for liking it or the players for doing it. I just think it's stupid. I'm not going to watch it. I hope it doesn't catch on anywhere else in hockey, not just in the NHL at any level. But if they want to keep doing it, keep doing it.